Tonight's study is going to focus on no easy way out. If the way out of a situation seems easy, then I got news for you. You're not in a situation. If it seems easy, you're not in a situation and have no situation. Here's what I want you to key takeaway for tonight. I want you to get on this. There are some things you must never compromise. Now, compromise can be a good thing, but there are some areas within your life you must never, ever compromise. That's all they did with Jesus. If you'll pay close attention to his ministry for that 3 years or so, you will find that that's all the Pharisees want him to do. Well, you just got to compromise a little with us. You just got to, you know, why don't you sit down and you're talking not like the rest of us speak. You need to speak like the rest of us. Let's compromise and you will be welcome. As I shared with you all this morning, I will read again. If wealth is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, something is lost. But if character is lost, everything is lost. When is compromise wrong? I got 3 points. Number one point, compromise is wrong if it causes you to defy your convictions. Now, character is determined by the courage of your convictions. Anybody can say, I have convictions. But when you don't see them standing strong in their convictions, then or not having the courage to stand up for their convictions. Okay, well, you know, this is my conviction, but you can probably talk me out of it if you start talking and you start pretending like you know more scripture than me, or you start quoting something that I won't know any difference than I think that is scripture, and you sound like you really know what you're talking about, I just might be willing to change. That's not a conviction. That's not a conviction. You and I must be convicted in how we stand with Christ. Now, of all the things that you want to do wrong in your life, one thing don't you ever do. Do not ever deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, God incarnate. Now, when you stand strong and true to your conviction of who Christ is, maybe he is one of those good angels. No, he's not an angel, and you ain't going to turn into one either. And I guarantee you, you ain't living like an angel here on earth or acting like one. You might flop your wings every so often, but that don't make you an angel, right? Okay. I'm getting in over my head, Webster. Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2. Now, when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus. Conferred together against Jesus. Do you think maybe they had an agenda? You know, they're going, it's not one of those things, let's go in and let's discuss whether or not you might think that Jesus is the real Messiah. Or let's discuss this. No, there wasn't any discussion. They were going in to this meeting to confer together against Jesus to put him to death. I don't even know why they met. When they need a meeting that already decided, let's put him to death. So now they're conferring, okay, let's figure out how to do it. Do you know a lot of these people didn't even know what he looked like? No, why do you think Judas Iscariot had to come and kiss him? Why did, you know, the one that I kissed, this is he. They didn't know what Jesus looked like. Man, they were out to destroy a man they'd never even seen. They'd heard about him. Well, I'm not going to listen to that preaching. No, because he can't be the Messiah, so we're not going to go out. We're not going to show him any attention at all, because if we show him attention as the Pharisees, then what we're saying is we're giving him credibility. Bet you've heard of that lately. We're giving him credibility to it. So we're just not going to do it. So they don't go to the point they didn't even know what he looked like. And I guarantee you, they were not up on what he said. You know what the problem was? People were flocking to him. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. they become jealous. Who does this guy think he is? We're the ones wearing the robes. We're the ones that look religious, and they're going out here to this guy? So the anger was already built up. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. He was charged with trying to overthrow the Roman government. He had never mentioned it. Again, you're talking about individuals that had already predetermined to kill Jesus. It didn't matter what he had said or what he didn't say. That had nothing to do with it. They were going to kill the man that was messing up their job ranking. I mean, again, we got the robes. We got the job. Who does this man think he is? And so they had planned this meeting around killing Jesus. Again, you think about that. You tell me where the logic was in even meeting. Okay, would everybody vote on killing Jesus? Yep, for the good of the church, kill him. So, Pilate begins to examine him. Matthew 27, verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." Now, let me remind you of something on this. Jesus had been asked before, and you will find that Jesus spoke not a word. I want you to pay close attention when you're studying the word, and especially the phrase you always hear Jesus using. My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come for me to tell you or admit who I am. My time has not yet come. Here, Jesus had already said, it's my time. And yes, it is as you say. But pay attention to what Jesus just did to him. Jesus said, you said it, Pilate. You must believe it. You said it. It's just as you say. Because, Pilate had agreed that he was the king, the Son of God. King of the Jews. Showed him that later on too, didn't he? Remember what, what are the first letters of that? You'll see it on the cross of the Presbyterian crosses. I-N-R-A? I-N-R-I, yeah. Yeah, yes, that's the first letter of the Latin words for the King of the Jews. So, you're learning, son. You done good with him, Tammy. You're doing good. Hang in there with him. And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. Now, Jesus examined or grilled four times. Three times by Pilate. One time by Herod. Here is the conclusion. Luke 23, verses 14 and 15. I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him, nor has Herod. Pilate said, why are we here? I guess they thought they were going to have a conference with him. Why are we here? I find no fault in this man, neither has Herod. Now, Jesus and Pilate, they had something in common with Jesus Christ that day. They had something in common, and it's the only thing that you'll find at any of these points where Jesus and Pilate and Herod had anything in common. And that part about what they had in common is they all three knew that Jesus was innocent of all charges. But, you know, for you to stand on your conviction, for you to stand up and say, I believe this. But then when the crunch time comes, when they're pointing their swords at you, when they're looking at you and you know that you could be put on a cross right beside of him if you didn't act right or talk right, hurried in them out of fear. Fear of what? Fear of Caesar, for one thing, and fear of all of these Jewish leaders turning him in again. He had already in trouble with Caesar. So here there was, he was going to mess up, and he knew if he messed up again, so out of fear. Now, you will find the difference between a man of character and a man of tongue only when it comes down to their life and whether or not they're going to stand firm as to what they believe. None of the Pharisees would stand. None of them stood strong for Jesus. And again, I keep reminding you folks, why didn't they? They were the scholars of the day and knew what the Bible said, and Jesus had told them, you already knew this. You're the ones that told all of these people I'm coming, and yet none of you showed up at my birthing time. Birthing time. Is that okay, Linda? Can I use a birthing name? Thank you, hon. Both knew that Jesus entered. The crowd wants Jesus to be crucified. Got it? But Pilate has a problem with this. His conscience is telling him this is not right. Now that leads us to the second answer as to when is compromise wrong. Compromise is wrong if you must deny your conscience. Why did God gave you a conscience for a reason? It's that you, it's that little bitty you in there talking to the big old you out here. It's that, now your conscience and your spirit, are they interchangeable? Gosh, I don't know, because even some of the hardest core criminals I dealt with, they had a somewhat of a conscience, but they had no desire or love to find out anything about Christ. So I'm not sure about that. My psychology doesn't go that deep, but I do know this. The character is a focus of an individual. Will they stand up when it's time to die for what they say they believe? Look at our nation and look at the world. You got an extra mic, Webster? Look at a nation and look at the world, because I want you to pay attention to something. Are you noticing how many of Christians throughout the world are being tortured and slaughtered, and yet they refuse to renounce Christ? Go right ahead, Larry.
Isn't there quite a similarity in what you were just talking about, Jesus, and what we studied, Paul?
Oh, yes.
And the kings that he had to go before.
That's correct.
And his character.
Yes. You will find that with the disciples, period, when it coming out. Peter and John and them, when they're standing up, said, ought we to listen to God or listen to man? Or we ought to listen to God over man, right? Come on, straighten me out if I'm wrong on that. I do know that yes, if should we obey God or obey man? But exactly, you see, character for the Christian is Christ in us. He is our character. It is Christ that will stand up. What are we told never to do? Never, ever go against who Christ is. It's the denying. That's blasphemy. For an individual that continually does that, it's the unpardonable sin, meaning they continue through life rejecting Christ as the Son of God. Many people, many religions accept Jesus Christ as a prophet, folks. Only the Christian faith accepts him as God. Only the Christian faith. All others are religions. Christianity is a relationship. I've said that before, haven't I? A few times. Compromise is wrong if you must deny your conscience. In fact, Pilate's conscience bothered him when the Jews first brought Jesus to him. Listen to the exchange that took place then. John 18, verses 29 and 30. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? It was obvious, if you ever read some of this and really get into study on it, Pilate liked him. Pilate just didn't like the Jews, the religious leaders. I think Pilate would have snuck him out the back door if there hadn't been a way of doing it. He didn't want to deal with him. He liked Jesus a lot more than he liked his accusers. They answered and said to him, If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. Why did they deliver him to Pilate? What was the background of the reason why the Jews had to go to Pilate to deliver him? Anybody remember that? You could not crucify anyone or put them to death without Roman authorities doing it. The Jewish religious leaders did not have that authority. They could go scourge them or whip them, do anything else, but they couldn't put them to death. These people wanted Jesus dead. From the beginning, they wanted Jesus dead. Now, here's the way that I said that they were thinking, if you'll notice in your notes. Don't worry about it, just execute him. Don't worry about it, just kill him. Why you bring up all of this frivolous stuff such as guilt or innocent? Just kill him. Get it over with. We have to prove all of this stuff. We would not have brought him to you if he hadn't done something wrong. And yet Pilate or Herod never could figure out what they even said, claimed that he did wrong. And then they get into the trickery part of their statement with them later on. Listen to Matthew 27:19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, this is something unusual that took place. I'll tell you why you would not see this anywhere else. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message. No. Folks, not in that generation, not under Roman rule, his wife sent him a message, and he is going to stand up and acknowledge a message from his wife? No. So.
And which wife?
Yeah. Which one of them? It must have been the number one, because sitting on a judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man. Uh-oh. You're talking about a pagan. A non-believer recognizes Jesus is righteous, and the supposedly righteous religious leaders were not recognizing him. Do we not see that today? Do we not see it today? It's all over the place. So, you know, people, well, now you're saying then, preacher, you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, now, I don't want to offend anybody else, so I'll let them tell you their way. Good gracious. I'm going to get a sign for the, mail them to all the preachers locally. Quit whining and stand up and preach the gospel. Yes, Jesus is the only way for salvation. Yes, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are heaven bound. And no, if you reject Christ, you're not going to heaven. Well, you just said that because you're a Christian? Yes, you're right. That's why I said I'm a Christian. So therefore, I will say it. And then she said, for last night, I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. Which is saying to him, if I'm awake with a bad dream, you're going to be awake with a bad dream. You better figure out a way to get this man out of this. Think of it. There's got to be, and you'll have enough years left in your life, Mitch, there's got to be something behind that you can pull out in this whole statement or exchange to know that, you know, why is Herod's wife coming out and saying this? Why do we have it in Scripture? Why do we see that a pagan is coming out and calling Jesus righteous? And she had the dream. She was not a believer. She had the dream. People say, well, you know, she could have been Christian. Well, you know, she could have also been dead for being one. Oh, gosh, yeah, she don't ever. Who in the world does she think she should have been back home fixing dinner? But there she was dreaming and telling him. Folks, I'm joking, those of you who are listening. John 9:19-12. As a result of this, are you catching it? Pilate caught it. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Oh, that was it, the trump card. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar. But the question had been asked Jesus, are you then the king? He said, my kingdom is not of earth. He answered him, yes, I am a king, but not around here. They could still find no fault in him. But he is answering their question and saying that, sadly, out of fear, Pilate begins to listen to the crowd. Now, Christian, some of the most grave mistakes you and I make is that we know within our heart and our character that Christ has given us tells us this is right, this is wrong. It's in us. It's a part of who we are. But so often, and especially anyone in the ministry, so often the crowd is there and many deliverers of the word of God want to please the crowd. You cannot be a deliverer of the word of God and worry about pleasing the crowd. You only please a crowd because you just don't want to take the heat. And you don't want to take the heat because you don't want to have to study more or work harder. And after all, you know, I've got to take care of my family. I've got to do this. Listen, Larry Vance, you might get by with some things, but I couldn't do that in my church. If I did that in my church, then I'd be out. I'd have no income to support my family. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to stand up and thus proclaim, thus saith the Lord thy God. And I don't care if you use the King James or any other. Just say it. Thus saith the Lord thy God. Now, how can you all blame me if I stand up and say, let's read the scripture. This is what God says. Rightly, you can't. But is it not the message deliverer that gets killed? Remember the old days? Yeah. Yeah, send the messenger. If they kill him, we'll know they didn't accept the treaty. That's the best way of doing it. If they kill him, that was the wrong answer. Wait and pick another one. And I can tell you, they never picked the one they really liked that much to go carry the message. Number three, when compromise is wrong. Compromise is wrong if you must defile your character. Pilate makes one last ditch effort to save Jesus through annual prisoner pardon. To defile the character would be to say, I know that an individual is innocent. I know within my heart there's nothing been brought before this court that proves in any way he's guilty of anything. But I'm going to turn away from what I know to be the truth to please the crowd. That's defiling your character. That takes it back. That means that your character, if it's the Apostle Paul speaking, your character is no better than a pile of dung. That's where it is. Paul was very colorful. As a matter of fact, all of them were colorful in their speaking. We've toned it down in our translations, I noticed. Matthew 27, verses 17, 20, and 21. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowds. Candy time. Those little loaves of bread about that big, they's all over that place. They, you know, crucified Jesus, and here. Well, you know, in Kentucky, it was always half pint of whiskey. You know, they used bread in the old days. Half pint of whiskey, I'll vote for anybody you tell me to vote for. Just give me time to drink it before I go. Yeah, a lot of us remember the, well, I don't know why I'm saying remember those days. I'm not so sure they're not still here in a lot of cases. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. Barabbas was the most vile prisoner they had, the most wanted of all the prisoners that they had ever been seeking. They had him. Pilate thought that, look, surely they won't want this scoundrel back out there, and they'll let Jesus go. But the governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Barabbas. Why? Because the crowd was against the truth. Folks, we live in a nation that is supposed to be what we call a democratic nation. But the nation of America is not ruled by the power of the vote of the people. It is not what the majority say. Our nation is a republic, and it's ran about what the minority say now. Now, you're dealing with a crowd of people that were just looking for somebody to give them something, and they'd vote either way you wanted to. Didn't matter. There wasn't any character involved for them to lose. They had no character. Their character was focused around who was going to feed them and what was they going to own. What are you going to give me? You, whatever you give me, then I'll follow your lead. Matthew 27:22. Pilate said to them, he's still struggling, then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? Now, Pilate learned something about Jesus Christ that every one of us need to remember. And you can circle this one because I want you to remember this. It is impossible to do nothing about Christ. It is impossible to do nothing about Jesus Christ. You will either accept Jesus Christ as who he is, or you will reject him. But it's impossible for you to do nothing. You are going to tell me, Pilate says, what do I do with Jesus? Is not that the same cry that we hear today? But is it not the cry today of the Holy Spirit? What are you going to do with Jesus that the Holy Spirit has informed us of? You see, I don't have to worry about what somebody else out there says. You don't either as a Christian. You and I know who Jesus is because he is in us. Jesus touched our heart. We said yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus is real. I can't convince you that Jesus Christ is real in you because I don't know. And you can't convince someone else that Christ is real in them because you don't know whether. Only the individual who knows Jesus Christ knows that he's real. So we don't have to convince each other. No way that we could convince a lost person to accept Jesus, although that is type of witnessing is used quite a bit, where that I'm going to convince you to accept Jesus. Very dangerous, because the convincing part has to be by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts, and at the same time the Holy Spirit convicts, he convinces. Not with our words, but with the touch of the Master's hand. And when we said yes to Christ, we felt him and we know him. We don't ask for anybody to prove Jesus to us, do we? We don't want, what do I care what man thinks? It is impossible to do nothing about Jesus. You'll do something with him. Pilate made a common critical error. He compromised his convictions, his conscience, and his character. They were compromised because the crowd. He would be popular with the crowd. interestingly enough, the crowd wasn't going to like him anymore. And not only that, he was going to be turned in. Not only that, they could care less about Pilate or Jesus. They wanted this individual known as Jesus to be put out of the way so we could go about our business. Just let me get back to, the oil spill giant guy, the president that said, well, you know, all I'd like is my life back. Remember that over the spill? Who?
Joe the plumber.
Joe the plumber had to pull him out of the pipes. Oh, gosh. Who? Yes, the BP oil spill. Remember, all these people died, and then this exec comes on and says, I don't know, I just want to get my life back. Man, that was bad. And people say, well, they fired him for that. Oh, yeah, he really got fired with that golden parachute. Big deal. But you think of it. That's exactly what's going on. People who claim that they really care about you, they don't care. They care about rule, power, and they care about being able to get what you have. And they want to hold on and tell you what to do with it. I better watch myself here. I'm really walking a fine line, aren't I? Okay, listen to Mark 15, verse 15. Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. And in the few weeks ahead, you're going to hear a lot about this story. Always remember, no matter who asks me every year, yes, I'm going to preach the same story. I'm not going to change the story about Jesus. Well, we just need to get it more in our time. Well, it's as much in our time as it's going to get with this preacher. Because, folks, listen, that's a problem now. Too many people haven't heard the story. Too many children are growing up without hearing the story about who Christ really is. Too many times his name is not mentioned in the crowd because no one wants to offend the crowd. Hadn't you much rather offend the crowd than the God of creation?